In India, rare is the Hindu household that does not have at least one statue of the god Ganesh. That's the elephant-headed deity who brings good fortune. In southern India, Bombay and Pune in particular, the deity is worshipped with special fervor during the annual 10-day Ganesh Festival in August and September. NPR's Michael Sullivan traveled to Bombay for this year's festivities.
In the pantheon of Hindu gods, Brahma the creator may be more powerful, Shiva the destroyer more feared, and Vishnu the preserver more respected. But no Hindu god is more loved than Ganesh, the playful deity with a long trunk, magnificent belly, and the ability to remove obstacles and bring happiness. For the urban poor, who make up the vast majority of Bombay's population of more than 15 million, Ganesh is especially popular, and the festival a chance to offer prayers, ask favors, and forget about the ever-present problem of just getting by. In tens of thousands of homes and public spaces all over the city, people gather in the morning and evening to offer prayers to Ganeshas made especially for this occasion. The public Ganeshas, paid for by local committees, can be elaborate affairs more than 30 feet high. As the celebration has grown, so has the competition for the biggest and best. But height alone does not determine a Ganesh's standing. In the Lal Bagh section of central Bombay, a densely packed neighborhood of mill workers and day laborers, there are dozens of neighborhood Ganeshas, but the one situated in the middle of the Lal Bagh market is one of the city's most popular. At evening prayers, thousands of people stand patiently in line for an opportunity to see the Lal Bagh Ganesh, a relatively modest 12-foot deity in purple silk pajamas on a golden throne. Some worshippers stand in line for up to 5 hours for a chance to make an offering of coconuts, coins, or Ganesh's favorite sweets. Others who can't make their way onto the stage hand their babies to total strangers who carefully touch the baby's heads to the Ganesh's feet before returning the infants to their parents. This man, carrying a small girl in his arms, was one of the lucky ones who managed to get on stage to make an offering.
This god completes your wishes and fulfills your dreams. My son died a while ago, so I came and asked this Ganesh for another child, and he has given me this one. So I came back today to thank him. He is the king of Lal Bagh.
According to the people here, the Lal Bagh Ganesh can ensure a child's operation is successful, improve another's grades in school, even make sure that a sister finds a good husband. Nothing seems beyond his power, which is why Prakash Hariye, who lives several miles from here, spurned his neighborhood's Ganesh for this one.
I'm fighting a legal case which has been going on for several years now. So I've come to pray that it be over quickly. Whatever you wish, they say this Ganesh fulfills your wish quickly. That's why I'm here.
On the last day of the festival, if you're not taking part, it's best to stay indoors. That's when all the Ganeshas from all over the city make their way to the ocean or nearby lakes for the ritual immersion, clogging the city's narrow streets. The final day is a cross between Mardi Gras and the Rose Bowl parade. The larger Ganeshas pulled in carriages or loaded onto trucks, accompanied by frenzied devotees who sing and dance their way to the sea. The public celebration actually began more than 100 years ago, when India was still part of the British Empire and political gatherings by Indians forbidden. But religious gatherings were not, so a clever Maharashtran, Lokmanya Tilak, began the public celebration as a way of getting around the restriction. Today, the British, of course, are gone, and so is the political dimension. Nowadays, the Ganesh Festival is pure spectacle, which culminates in the immersion ceremony. Nowhere is the spectacle more on display than at Chopati Beach in the south of the city, in the shadow of Malabar Hill, some of the highest-priced real estate in the world. Hundreds of thousands gathered for this year's immersions on Saturday to watch and offer one final prayer. Some of the Ganeshas were just a foot high, others 30 times that. Some had four arms, others six. Some had bellies that would make a sumo wrestler proud. Others were svelte, yet always stylish. There were Ganeshas reclining on thrones of snakes, Ganeshas riding in chariots pulled by rats, and Ganeshas riding eagles. But eventually all the Ganeshas ended up in the water, the smaller ones bobbing briefly on the surface, the larger ones sinking quickly or resting half-submerged on their side on the ocean floor. Many were sorry to see them leave, but said the immersion is an important part of the ritual.
What we have got from the earth, we are giving back to the earth. Like a human lifespan, which lasts from birth to death. Similarly, the Ganeshas come and stay for 10 days, then are given back to the earth until next year.
Though most of the city enthusiastically embraces the festival, some environmentalists cringe at the damage they say is being done to the water. Kedar Gore is with the Worldwide Fund for Nature.
The chemicals which are there in the mixed in the paints of the idols, they get mixed in the water. It severely affects the marine life which is there. Since the number of idols is increasing, the amount of pollution happening because of this will always increase.
But festival proponents, such as Bombay's most famous Ganesh maker, Vijay Khatu, say such criticism is misplaced.
The Ganesh immersion takes place only once a year, whereas chemical effluents are let out into the sea by big companies every day, 365 days a year. The environmentalists should be more worried about that.
The chairman of the festival's organizing committee, Jainant Salgaonkar, agrees with the sculptor Khatu, and Salgaonkar, who is also a respected astrologer, says more people are participating in the festival each year. He says this is not simply a function of increased population, but a response to an increasingly complicated and intimidating world.
People have always had a strong belief in Lord Ganesh as the god of happiness and one who brings prosperity. But I think in this current hectic, competitive, technology-driven life, people are finding even more solace and mental peace in the act of worshipping Lord Ganesh. It is an outlet. It is a time out from the busy world around them, in addition to being a question of faith.
Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Bombay.